Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now, as threatened, it's the semifinals of the Brian Lehrer Show Satire Slam. We invited you last week to submit satirical scripts of 200 words or less. We got more than 250 entries, and we have selected eight as semifinalists. So you will hear now from four of our surviving satire slammers, the other four tomorrow. And after tomorrow's show, we'll have a webpage up where you can vote for your favorites. And what's the prize? Well, the top four, with the help of your votes, will get to join us for our first show ever at the Jerome L. Green Performance Space next week to compete in the finals. Now, before we bring on the satire slammers, let's meet our judge, the very judgmental Faith Saley, actor and comedian and former host of the public radio program Fair Game. Hello again, Faith.
Hi, Brian. I feel really weird about being judgmental. I'm not used to criticizing people live to their faces.
Have it's you ever done? We approached a very prominent satirist, political satirist, very funny guy here in New York who I will protect the privacy of, and asked him, and he's come on the show with us and likes the show and stuff, and I asked him, would you come on and be one of our satire slam judges? He said, no, I don't do slams.
He was smarter than I am. So this whole slam thing sounds so aggressive and Darwinistic.
Yeah, some people don't like to sit in judgment. Aggressive, but it's fun.
Yes.
It's all with the – yeah, and there are different – I guess there are different words. I saw another word. Now I'm trying to remember what it is. Just the other day for a kind of competition. Oh, I know. There's a film competition. Somebody sent me an email about a film competition that they've entered. You make a short independent film, and you post it online, and then other people go and vote on which are the best films, and they're calling it a film race.
Race. Okay.
Which is kind of neat.
Sure. But I prefer pageant for any sort of competition.
A movie pageant? Yeah, a documentary pageant. it's not alliterative, like satire slam. So here we are with the latest Brian Lehrer Show, Satire Slam, and Faith Saley. By the way, when we do this in the green space next week, you have recruited your friend Mo Rocca.
Yes, he'll be great.
To come and be your co-judgmental human being.
He can be the Simon, I'll be the Paula.
Okay. Well, now we
more sober, though.
Now, I guess that makes me Randy, because I'm definitely not Kara.
No. Just practice saying, that's pitchy, dog. You'll be fine.
It's a little pitchy. Yo, dog! Tonight. Okay. But now, remember our judging criteria. These short satires should make us feel, make us think. Bonus points for making us roll on the floor laughing out loud. And only bonus points, because as you pointed out last week, Faith, the point of satire as opposed to mere comedy is not necessarily ha ha ha.
But it's great when it is, yeah.
But it's great when it is, so it's bonus points. And of course they have to be relevant to the news. Anything else you want to say about how you will judge when we meet these brave and creative souls?
Yeah, I think the best satire builds to something. I think it latches onto a hyperbole and takes it somewhere audacious and surprising.
Okay, so let's meet these four semi-finalists and bring on first, let's see if I have this order right. Okay, yes, it is Charles Esser from Newark. Is it not? Charles, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
How you doing? Do you want to set up your 200-word or less piece at all, or do you want to just dive right in?
Let me just dive right in, and you can ask me any questions you like about it after.
We're all ears.
Okay. Marriage, with all its legal burdens, has for too long been the responsibility of heterosexuals, while homosexuals were left free of such worries or fears. To this I say, no more. In order to ensure our nation's moral strength, we must put an end to the homosexuals' effort to subvert our notion of family by insisting that if they live together, raise a family together, care for one another, that they too must endure the legal ramifications of marriage. How many young men and women have been seduced into the worry-free lifestyle of homosexuality? The ease of life that results from an avoidance of marriage is too seductive a trap for a young, unformed mind to avoid. We must close for all time this method of recruitment by the homosexual legions and enforce the burdens of marriage upon them. We must let homosexuals know that their free ride is over, that they too must purchase the bovine if they wish to enjoy the dairy. The heterosexual community will no longer stand idly by while the homosexual homosexual is free to enjoy the relationship, unburdened by legal recognitions. If we do not force marriage upon the homosexual community, who will?
Ha. Okay, well, I'll tell you why I really like that. One reason I really like that is that you completely flip the script. And it's almost a plausible argument. I mean, I think that people will remember the day, you know, and we're coming up to the 40th anniversary of Stonewall in a couple of months. People will remember the day when homosexuality either was or was perceived as this lifestyle that was to get away from family commitment. And so, you know, if people against homosexuality started making this argument in a sincere way, you know, kind of like a Colbert thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people who want to be against homosexuality might actually buy it, Faith.
Well, go ahead, Charles. Oh yeah, that was my personal opinion on this is of course that I think that being against gay marriage or opposite, actually that'd be same marriage as opposed to opposite marriage, is mostly just being a jerk. It's just a jerk move, and
less engaging to put it that way.
Yeah, well, yeah. If gay people didn't want to get married, then there would be people out there saying, "No, you must get married if you are going to live a married lifestyle." So,
Faith,
because gay people, of course, are married; they just aren't getting legal recognition.
Charles, I do think Brian's right. I think the plausibility of this argument is really what's most ingenious about it. And I like that you just now threw in that reference to opposite marriage, you know, because one of the things we're judging this on is relevance to the news. So I was waiting to see, you probably wrote this before Perez Hilton asked that question last week. But I was waiting to have you reference that. I also love the line that they too must purchase the bovine if they wish to enjoy the dairy.
Yeah.
I was waiting for maybe some sort of lactose intolerance joke.
Yeah,
I think you could go even further to lampoon those conservatives or those people who want to deny marriage rights as being the ones who are louche or libertine. I think you set that up here, but you could go even further saying that.
Well, in all honesty, the 200-word limitation was a limitation here. In an earlier version of this, it goes into issues of how, if a homosexual decides to terminate his relationship, he needs only hand their paramour a bag, no lawyers involved. But if a heterosexual, with the burdens of marriage, wishes to end their relationship, they must endure the legal hardships of child support, etc., homosexual is free to avoid.
And Charles, I understand the limitations of how many words you can use, but that would be my main criticism of this, is that it's a solid joke. I like how clear it is, but it's one joke made in the first sentence that doesn't necessarily build. And in fact, you sort of used up your words by saying a couple of the same things twice. Like, we must let homosexuals know their free ride is over is the same as saying we can not no longer stand idly by.
And we need to move on.
Sorry.
But Charles, be ready, just in case you do get voted after tomorrow's show as one of the finalists to come join us in the green space. Be ready to write again, because we will ask for a new piece.
Oh, good.
To come.
Oh,
well, you're not going to come and do this again.
Oh.
Right?
Thank you.
And so it will be something else if you get that far. So thanks. It was great talking to you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Maybe we'll see you next Tuesday down on the first floor of 160 Varick. All right. So up next in our Satire Slam, Erin Slattery from Astoria, Queens. Hi, Erin.
Hi.
Congratulations on getting this far. Was this something you had written previously as Charles had written his, or did you write it just for the occasion?
No, I was just listening, and I wrote it.
Cool. Well, you want to dive right in, or do you want to set it up in any way?
No, that's fine. I'll dive right in.
We're all ears.
All right. Welcome to the AIG 2009 Rebranding Party Family Reunion, trademarked. We are delighted to see so many of you again and looking so very focused. Please leave all small arms ammunition, pointy objects, ATM cards, and shoes with our collective collateral representative before participating. We regret that lawyers, accountants, and members of Congress must remain outside. Note that your state-of-the-art RFID leg cuff grants you easy access to all activities and may be adjusted for optimal comfort with the use of wire cutters. The schedule, 9:30 to 10:30, Healing Bikram Yoga, the Troubled Asana Relief Program. Please provide your own mat and squeegee. 11:10 to 11:15, opening remarks by the CEO. moment of extreme optimism. Lobby broom closet, seating for two. 11:15 to 11:18, rebranding, renaming, acronym Fiesta. Our new brand, AIU, deserves a thoughtful, catchy, visionary definition. Please vote for your favorite. Averting imminent unease, arty individuals uniquely on, or Artelny Gorshok Busha Kipit. 11:20 to 11:30, wearable credit derivatives eco-chic. It's time to get crafty. Credit default swaps easily transform into prêt-à-porter wear for all seasons, not applicable in all scenarios, because we care. Noon to 12:30, bailout smorgasbord. Please provide a hot or cold dish to serve 70. Takeout menus available from Fran. 12:30 to 12:35, closing remarks and exit interviews. Please have your checkbooks ready.
Huh. Now, what were those wearable credit derivatives eco-chic? Were they going to design clothing out of some kind of debt?
Out of credit credit default swaps.
Is that figurative?
I'm not sure if you can do it, but...
Yeah, I was wondering.
Well, there must be a piece of paper somewhere that represents the credit default swaps, right?
Right. So all you need is a stapler and some imagination.
And brickbrack.
So that was very funny. Right. You know, when I was reading it online, I really was rolling on the floor laughing out loud. But I think it actually is a better print essay than a performance thing. I think it lost something in the translation, although I recommend everybody go to the website and read it because then it's really, really funny.
I think so, too, because it's replete with exclamation points and TM and asterisks and even a circumflex.
And acronyms and stuff like Troubled Asana Relief Program, right, with the Bikram Yoga.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if that came across so well. We had another contestant, by the way, almost made the cut. A lot of people trying to play with TARP, the Teenage Allowance Relief Program. So we won't, you know, pursue where that went. But somehow it was better in print than as a performance piece, although it's still really, really good writing.
Aaron, what is the language that you spoke there? What was that?
Is it Russian?
Oh, it's a Russian proverb.
Say it again.
But it's Artelny Gorshok Busha Kipit, and I'm definitely not Russian, so I apologize to native speakers of Russian.
And what does it mean?
It actually means working as a team produces better results. But it started with A, so I use it.
Right. That was also hard to get, I think, for people who weren't following along like we were
or
with
who
the script.
Russian.
That you changed, rebranded the company from AIG to AIU and looking for AIU names, so averting imminent unease, arty individuals, uniquely on. We got that. Probably the listener didn't get that. And then was the Russian one, which actually translates into something with AIU, I guess, right?
Well, with A, at least.
Close enough. What we call A, which, again, was very funny when I came to it in print with the Russian font that you used to write it. You know, even though I had no idea what it meant, it was just really funny to come upon it. Faith, anything else?
I like the specificity of it. I like the squeegee and the RFID leg cuff and, you know, takeout menus available from Fran. Again, I wish it maybe had built to something crazy, like putting up the former CEOs up on a wheel and throwing knives at them or something towards the end of the day. But I like the idea of it.
But it did, again, have this flip the script event where, like, the bailout smorgasbord from noon to 12:30, where instead of them providing you food, please provide a hot or cold dish to serve 70.
Yeah.
So nice job, Aaron. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks very much.
Be ready. And you wrote that on, you know, at the drop of a hat. So that's a great job. And be ready to write again, just in case.
Okay, thanks.
And as we continue with our Brian Lehrer Show Satire Slam semifinalists, up next, Stuart from Manhattan. Hi, Stuart.
Hello.
So you want to set up your piece?
Not really. I just do want to say, and I'm not buttering her up, but I am. I'm only writing because Faith Saley is a judge. I heard that she was on your show last week, and I just actually dropped a note into your show ruining the end of Fair Game. And then Jody encouraged me to submit. She took my and then I ended up writing a satire on PRI, but I realized that was too specific. So I ended up writing my piece.
Stuart, consider me smothered in butter. Thank you.
And awesome. and sour grapes. No, not sour. Poor Faith. This one
poor
in
judgment.
These days in really kind of a long line of people from really good public radio programs that got canceled due to economic conditions.
Thanks, yeah.
So, all right, Stuart, what you got?
All right, here we go. Following on the heels of his successful campaigns to eliminate smoking and trans fats in restaurants and term limits in government, and in keeping with his recent moves to limit sodium in foods, Mayor Bloomberg has announced a series of other initiatives he will be implementing throughout his third and fourth terms. These measures will include, but are in no ways limited to, restrictions on wearing stripes with plaids, playing ball in the house, laughing too loudly in public, riding Western style, eating before bedtime, having pizza 2 days in a row, half-hearted flossing, calling people honey, ripping a piece off a bagel before you get home with the bag, and getting too sweaty. When pressed for comment on the ambitious breadth and scope of his plans, the mayor simply responded, quote, "I have only the interests of all the people in, hey, are you chewing gum? What have I told you about chewing gum?" End quote.
Faith Saley.
I wish that all of the, I did laugh out loud when I read this, when it got to ripping off a piece of the bagel before you get home with it and getting too sweaty. They're just so specific and random.
I laughed the loudest at calling people honey.
Yeah, these are I really like how clear the setup of this was. It's a very simple idea, and that's not an insult. Like, sometimes when you're limited by words, it's good to go with a quick, short idea, and I liked it. Brian?
Yeah, again, I thought it might have worked a little better in print, or you could have benefited from a slightly faster read, maybe, or a little more sardonic read, or something like that.
A little more pronouncing seeming, like officious. In the read?
Maybe, something like that.
Doing the best I can.
Yeah, but, you know, but it's good stuff. You know, we once did an April Fool's segment on the show, which I'm not supposed to say, because every time April Fool's Day comes around, people are supposed to think it's completely sincere. But one of our April Fool's Day segments, when Mayor Giuliani was in office in his second term, which was, you know, if he wasn't officious enough in his first term, there was his second term. We did Mayor Giuliani has decided to order no talking on the subways.
People believed it.
You bet people believed it.
Wow.
I could see it. I think there's something that happens to New York mayors when they're in the office too long. They just all turn into that dictator in the Woody Allen film Bananas, who had all his citizens wear their underwear on the outside of their clothing to make sure that it was clean.
I would say one thing, though. I don't think people think of the mayor so much as a killjoy. Or fashion police as much as he's being sort of paternalistic. So it maybe could have gone further with the, you know, he's also the one who instituted the calories being publicized at restaurants. So maybe could have gone further with the health stuff.
Okay, Stuart, just remember on your way out the door here, no double kissing or hugging your friends today.
Very good.
Oh, wait a minute. That's real.
Oh, darn.
Stuart, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, guys.
Brian Lehrer Show, Satire Slam semifinals. We have one more, and he actually entered a video that he had previously posted on YouTube, a music video. So this is going to work on the radio. And so we introduce, before we play a clip from the video, we're not going to make him do it again over his cell phone with his guitar in one hand and the cell phone in the other hand, Jerry Siegel from where, Jerry? From Manhattan?
From Manhattan, yeah.
Thanks a lot for doing this. You want to set up your clip?
Yeah, I was kind of looking forward to playing my guitar and my harmonica on the cell phone, but I think it's probably better this way. No, why don't you just play it, Brian?
And we're off.
Shock, the Wall Street tailor, can baste hens and talk trade all night. Shock, the Wall Street tailor, my pants don't fall right. Drop the cuffs down, I'll call you. Jacques, the crutch is a bit tight. Ooh, it's beginning to pinch. The Justice Department got me up in their sights. I cooked the books at Merrill Lynch. They don't care that I lost my
Jaguar, no Saxsmith Avenue. I got a visa, I'm off to Ibiza, I'll text you.
Jerry Siegel. Now, are you going to be prepared to come with guitar and harmonica to the
Absolutely.
Green space just in case?
Raring to go.
Yeah. So that was, and we just have a minute, Faith, so we're going to have to do this really quick.
Okay.
But, you know, it was part of what was interesting about it for me was that I wasn't able to figure out right away whether you were being sympathetic to the protagonist who was singing, the laid off Wall Street person, or whether you were being, you know, kind of sarcastic about him, ironic about his lament, about his life, and then even, but then it wasn't just about him. It was really kind of, you added another layer of complexity with his problems trickling down to Jacques the tailor, who winds up losing this particular gig because he can't afford him anymore. Faith?
That's right.
Yeah, I agree.
No,
go ahead, Jerry.
No, it's one of my heroes, Randy Newman, and his song Political Science inspired me for this, you know, putting words into the person who perpetrated it. And I do feel sympathy for these guys, too, believe it or not.
I think there was a little Jimmy Buffett thrown in there, too, musically. I was ready, though, for a little bit more exploitation of the tailor metaphor. I was hoping it might, you know, maybe something with the cuffs and handcuffs and tighten the crotch and stimulus packages and maybe having to take in the waist because no more fat cat lunches. I was hoping it might sort of explore the world of tailoring and alterations a bit more.
And you actually turned it around on the poor tailor a little bit at the end where you out him as not really this French-affected Jacques, but his real name is Julius.
Julius, yeah.
Well, part of it was that I was trying for the idea that we were under an illusion that if you get a latte and a mortgage, then you're part of the upper class. And we all felt that way. It was kind of a delusion. And poor Jacques got the bad end of the stick there.
Jerry from Manhattan, thanks a lot. We heard previously Stuart from Manhattan, Aaron from Astoria, and Charles from Newark, four of the finalists in our Brian Lehrer Show Satire Slam. Faith, this was so much fun that I suspect you might come back and do it again tomorrow for the other four finalists.
Will you let me?
Semifinalists.
I'd love to.
We'll give you the keys. In case we're not here, you can let yourself
okay.
in. And remember again, folks, after tomorrow's show at the same time, you'll be able to vote on our website for four of these semifinalists who will get to perform new works of satire next Tuesday morning at our debut program at the Green Space, the WNYC Jerome L. Green Performance Space, on the ground floor of 160 Varick Street. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, New York Times reporter David Gonzalez and your calls on families with mixed immigration status. He wrote an amazing piece about one family, and we'll meet the daughter from that family, too, coming right up.